You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Kimmel hosting the Oscars, Amy Schumer as Barbie, Greg Berlanti directing a Little Shop of Horrors remake, and a whole bunch of trailers, including Spider-Man.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Good morning, everybody out there, and welcome back. It's been a while. I've been gone. Uncle Simon Thompson is traveling this week. And before we get into the show, just a quick disclaimer for those tuning in for details about what happened to me this week. I'm very sorry. This is not the show for you. I was taught that the truth will set you free, and I look forward to having the opportunity to clear my good name at another time and another place. With that out of the way, let's welcome today's guest, Neil Turrets of Tracking Board. Thank you for coming back, my man. How are you?
Always great to be here. Thank you. I am not Simon, just so everybody knows. just in case you're tuning in for the first time, I don't have a British accent. I have more hair. Not much more, but I do have more hair.
I was going to say, that'll be quite the contest.
Great to be back. Thanks, man.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
I always like being here.
I've been off the air for like 3 weeks. There was Thanksgiving. Last week I was MIA. So it's good to be back behind the mic.
I remember I got that call from you and you seemed to be speaking Spanish.
Yes.
I heard a lot in the background and I wasn't really sure what was happening. So
exactly.
But I'm glad to see you're okay.
And a lot has happened, including this week's big news that Jimmy Kimmel is going to be hosting the Oscars. What do you think?
First of all, it's the least surprising news there is. I could not have been less surprised when they announced that it was going to be him.
That's so funny that you say that, because on one hand, I agree with you, and it is obvious. It was like always going to be Kimmel, I guess, because they ran out of time. That said, I was stunned. Stunned that it was him, because...
Shocked face? Go ahead.
I thought that DeLuca and Jennifer would put their stamp on the show and that they would not let the network really dictate who they were going to hire.
Yeah.
Although the network did get more power in its recent negotiations with the Academy.
It's funny. I wrote a column about this right after they were named.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, the network is pushing Jimmy Kimmel, and it'll probably be Jimmy Kimmel. But if they really want a host who is going to bring the house down, who covers, he checks off all the boxes, he's a member of the Academy, he's won himself before, the ideal guy is a full entertainer, the ideal guy is Jamie Foxx.
Interesting.
So that was my choice, and I made that suggestion.
That's a great call.
If you really want to knock it out of the park, because he would bring the house down. He'll sing, he'll dance, he'll be funny, he's a stand-up by trade. He's a great actor, and again, he's in the club.
He can sing. He is in the club.
That
is important.
And I think that when they said Jimmy Kimmel, I said, okay, not surprising, huge missed opportunity.
And see, I see it as a missed opportunity too, but so...
Nothing against Kimmel, who I like, and
yeah,
who will be fine, and let's talk about that.
Exactly. But saying, that's what I was going to say. To me, it's not a sexy pick.
Because we see
Jimmy Kimmel every night.
Yeah.
He's on our TVs every night. This is the chance to have someone who we don't often see on our TVs come in and do something different. So in that way, it's unsexy. But again, as you said, I think Jimmy Kimmel will do a very good job.
He'll be very funny. He'll be fine.
Exactly. It will be a good show.
Look, the thing is, I remember when Letterman hosted 20 years ago. And I'm a huge Letterman guy. And I wrote about, one of my columns a couple weeks ago was about, does late night TV matter anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And since Letterman's gone, I don't think it does, but that's a separate issue. But when he hosted, I remember thinking, he got so much shit for it, but I thought he did fine. The problem is that the show is so unwieldy. It's kind of host proof,
mm-hmm.
And you can be really, really bad as Franco and Hathaway were, or you can kind of barely hold it together, which is what most of the hosts do. Billy Crystal had a couple of great years.
Right.
And there is every now and again you have somebody who comes in. Hugh Jackman was good that year. But at some point, it's like the show is so unwieldy and long, and it gets away from the host. There's nothing the host can do. You're basically out there for the first 5-10 minutes trying to get things going and then forget it.
Right. In my Who Should Host the Oscars column, we advocated strongly that there should be a female host. And from reports, it sounds like they did go to Ellen and to Tina Fey. And they were
Tina Fey would never do it.
Right, and they were rebuffed.
Yeah. Well, didn't Ellen do it? Ellen did it last year. or 2 years ago.
Right, 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Last year was Chris Rock, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Chris Rock. Oscar's so white, and then he makes the Asian jokes, which I loved. I was like, attaboy, Chris.
No comment. So anyways, Jimmy Kimmel, I think that they could have done better, but you know what? They could have done a lot worse. He'll be fine.
I think you put it perfectly. It's not a sexy pick, but it's serviceable, and he'll be
right. He's going to do the job.
He'll get the job done. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely agree.
They were up against some tough time constraints. This is the latest the Academy had ever waited, so perhaps the producers were more hamstrung than they would be, because normally, you know, the big actors, you know, name talent in this town, you have to book them 9 months in advance. Mm. All right, let's move on to that Spider-Man trailer.
Pretty kick-ass.
I thought it looked really cool, too.
It looks really good. You know, I'm skeptical about this guy who has one little $250,000 movie to his name coming out and doing it. But, you know, it's like Shane Black said, it's just about wearing the suit. You know, I mean, I think that they have, with Kevin Feige overseeing it, it's just the right guy. You know, he's good pulling the strings, and you got the right guy in the seat, just in the director's seat.
But what was the MGMT song? Was it Kids? Is that the name of the song that they play over the trailer?
I
do 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 do. No.
Oh, that's.
I think that's MGMT, but I don't know if the name of the song is Kids. It might be, but the point of me bringing that up,
isn't it? It's Time to Pretend.
I don't know.
Isn't it?
Beats me.
The one that you just said me, the one that you just sang, okay, sounds like Time to Pretend.
Maybe it is.
Let's Shazam that. You know what? Here, yeah. Sing it again, and I'm going to Shazam it.
We'll get we're getting off topic. The point is that the trailer really emphasized high school,
which is great.
Right. It emphasized the kids.
And Tom Holland looks like a high school guy, like he's in high school.
I really like his best friend in this movie.
Yeah. And I like it that, what's her name, is looks like Zendaya. I think she's going to be Mary Jane. And as a...
No comment.
You don't think so?
I was on the set of...
Oh, jeez.
We did a set visit for this movie. So
look at this guy.
I am embargoed and cannot say anything.
Look out for this guy.
I will say that, to me, the more interesting question that I left the junket with was not, who is MJ playing? Because they were very upfront about who she's playing or not playing.
Zendaya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's, who is Donald Glover playing? Nobody knows this. This is the information that I want to know. Who's my boy Donald Glover playing in Spider-Man? We don't know.
I'll bet it's not Miles Morales.
I don't know. Maybe he'll be a blogger version of J. Jonah Jameson. Like that was, there was a lot of speculation about that.
I do love Donald Glover.
Atlanta
is one of the best shows of the year.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And also, who's Logan Marshall Green playing? He's also in this movie. They've been very low key about that. I don't know. I think he's a bigger name than he is. But how can he not have some kind of significant part?
You know what? I'm actually interested in waiting to see that for myself and not
have
any spoiler.
No.
I don't want to know who they're playing.
I'm so glad
like
I don't know these
walking
things.
Into this the theater and saying, you know, I mean, the spoiler culture is such
that,
you know what, let me just enjoy the goddamn movie.
That was the joy of 10 Cloverfield Lane this year. Which
I didn't see.
Oh, it's good. I did not like the ending, but it's a good movie on the whole. Very good. And, you know, that had like 2 weeks of marketing. That came out of nowhere.
Right.
I wish more movies would take that cue. Obviously, Spider-Man is not going to do that.
Michael
Keaton, I think, looks great as the Vulture.
Looks
great.
Looks terrific as the Vulture.
There was just a lot of cool stuff in here. The stuff between Spider-Man and Iron Man, that looks like it's going to be a blast.
I think, look, one of the things that Civil War did right was that. And... you know, I think that it's tough to go wrong when you've already established this whole thing. The two of them have great chemistry. Those sequences in that movie work terrific. Work really, really well. And Civil War, as much as I enjoyed it, is flawed.
Did you like the money shot in the Spider-Man trailer where he's holding the ferry together?
What's not to like?
I think it looks super cool.
It's like saying, do I like cream cheese on my bagel? I mean...
I like a thinner schmear than most, but... Okay, Spider-Man, to me, thumbs up on that trailer.
Thumbs up. Looks like it's good.
There's a whole bunch of trailers. Let's just get these out of the way now.
You can talk about the trailers. I don't seek out the trailers unless I'm in the movie theater.
I'm fascinated by trailers.
I know you are.
I can't wait.
We talked about this the last time I was here.
I was psyched to wake up this morning. There was a War for the Planet of the Apes trailer.
Right.
which you didn't see.
Which I haven't seen.
I want to get your thoughts on the franchise, but this trailer I thought was awesome. It looks great. Woody Harrelson looks amazing. He's one of my favorite actors, period.
Me too.
And
mine
he
too.
Looks like a total badass in this movie. I mean, you know, he does like the shaving his head sort of thing, which he did in Natural Born Killers.
Right.
In which he was the ultimate badass. And it just, I don't, this is one of the few, the rare Hollywood franchises that are really done right. I liked both these movies. Chernin and Fox do a great job with them. Andy Serkis is fantastic as Caesar. What is your take on this franchise? Are you looking forward to this?
No.
No.
It has never spoken to me.
The Apes movies.
The Apes movies.
I totally get that.
It's one of those things where I understand why people completely love them.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain franchises where I look and say, really? Why? Come on. Really?
Yeah.
Really? And that's not one of them. I get it.
Okay.
It's just not my thing. Like, I've seen them all. There have been two. There have been three. There have been two.
There's been two.
There have been two new ones. Okay, right. This is the third one. I've seen the first two. And I walked into both of them wanting to love it and came out of both of them saying, okay, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not something that excites me.
Okay. Totally fair. Are you excited by the Ocean's 8 movie?
I am, actually.
Yeah,
I am, actually.
Me too.
That looks really cool. I think it's interesting. As much as I like Gary Ross.
I was going to say, are you worried Gary Ross is directing?
Well, look, I love Pleasantville. I think Pleasantville is a really good movie.
Okay.
Seabiscuit. I think Seabiscuit's
good. Seabiscuit's good.
Seabiscuit's a really good movie.
That's true. Can he do this slick comedy caper thing?
And I actually like the first Hunger Games. I think he did a solid job with
that.
Yes,
he did.
You know, so, I mean, he's a good director. What I think is interesting is they make such a big deal out of this is a female, all-female cast, and it's this caper, and it's this, and it's that, but they don't, and we've talked about this before, they bring in a male director. And it's like, this seems like it would have been a perfect opportunity to get one of these hot, up-and-coming young female directors who can work with comedy or can do some
action. I completely agree. I wonder if it was his idea, though. You know, like, if Gary Ross comes to them with that idea, like, well, why didn't a female filmmaker come forward with that idea? Like, how do they not hire him if he brings it to them? Like,
I find it hard to believe that in today's Hollywood, no woman has come up with that idea before.
Okay.
I think that it's entirely possible that a woman or many women came up with that idea, pitched it, were rejected until someone of Gary Ross's stature came in maybe and pitched it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't begrudge him at all. I just think it's interesting that, you know,
it was an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
That was wasted.
Yeah. I mean, it's an opportunity.
Yeah,
it's a wasted opportunity.
I don't believe that women have to direct women's movies.
Agree, so. And we've talked about this.
Right.
You and I talked about this the
right.
first time I was here, and one of the first times we met, mm-hmm. we sat down and talked about this because we talked about Wonder Woman. And I said that, you know, we talked about the fact that I said they should probably hire a capable woman, and you said they should hire the best director. And I said, we're saying the same thing. I'm saying that you want to give an opportunity, especially all the stuff they're talking about with this particular project. Look, I don't know where the idea came from. I have nothing against Gary Ross. I'm sure he'll do a great job. But, you know, it's just
I really like the cast.
The cast is fantastic.
It's a very fun cast. And so this week they just added Damian Lewis from Homeland.
I saw that. Yeah.
He's going to be the
fellow redhead.
The
so
villain.
I root for him, you know. we got to stick together. I kind of don't want Zendaya to be playing Mary Jane just because, again, redhead on screen.
But you know, why does she have to be a redhead?
Because we're awesome redheads, or
Mary Jane. I just love. It's like, oh, she has one hair color, that's it. Okay.
I didn't say I would reject it. I said it would be a shame if we got rid of the redhead. Anyway, sorry. I love Sandra Bullock. I'll watch it pretty much anything Sandra Bullock does.
I think
and Kate Winslet, Kate Blanchett too.
Little Shop of Horrors, is that Warner Brothers too?
Well, it's Greg Berlanti, so it probably is.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyways, news this week that Greg Berlanti is going to be directing Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know about this pairing.
I
can see why they're doing another one, and I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is perfect for it. I hope that it ends up being him. But I love the original. I think it's perfect.
I am on record. Another thing you and I have spent much time off camera talking about the insistence on continuing to remake these films, which
right.
I find completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are you really going to improve on the Rick Moranis version from 25 years ago?
No.
30 years ago? You're not. There's no way. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
You're just not going to do it.
You're probably not going to do it with Greg Berlanti. No offense.
Look, Greg Berlanti, I love what Greg Berlanti is doing on television.
Yeah, he's good at a certain thing.
He's good at a certain thing.
I don't know that I've seen
any movie that he's done that I've really liked, but that's nothing against him. I think that I'm a big fan of his work, you know.
Okay.
But my problem is not Greg Berlanti. My problem is, why are you remaking this movie?
Sure.
Why in God's name do you feel like it's like, who is?
Because musicals are back now with La La Land, which you haven't seen yet.
Well, which I'm going to see as soon
You're
as
going
possible.
To see this weekend.
I can't wait to see it. But I mean, you know, at the end of the summer, I wrote a column about like what are the best and the worst of the year so far before award season starts, and one of the categories was the why, for the love of God, why award went to Ben-Hur. Because at some point, somebody had to say, then why did nobody ever ask the question, wait, time out.
Why are we doing this?
What is the audience for this? Why are we spending $100 million on this? What the fuck are we doing?
With Jack Houston.
With Jack Houston, with a complete no name in the role. I mean, if we're going to do it, we might as well get the biggest name. Let's throw a lot of money at Ryan Gosling.
I'm with you. I mean, that was a shocking.
And I feel like this is one of those things. Like, who is sitting in the executive office is saying, you know what is a great idea? Is let's remake Little Shop of Horrors, because that's a license to print
You're
money.
Going to see all those movies get remade, though. Guys and Dolls, West Side Story. I'm telling you, it's all going
I know
to happen.
You're right.
Because
it
all these guys
hurts
want
my
to do
soul
it.
To do this, like, to
you,
hear this.
You know Channing Tatum wants to do a musical, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I interviewed Nick Cage a few weeks ago, and he was like, I want to do a musical. The musicals are hot right now. They're coming back.
Sigh.
You know what else is coming back? Tomb Raider.
Look, I do love Walton Goggins, though.
Okay, Walton Goggins is the fucking man.
Walton Goggins is awesome.
Goggins is kick-ass. He's going to be the villain in Tomb Raider, according to our boy Justin Kroll at Variety.
That's weird.
Alicia Vikander is playing Tomb Raider. Other than Goggins, it's good. It's a good cast that they have so far, and I like the director, Roar Uthag, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the guy who did The Wave.
Yeah. Good
but,
movie. The Wave?
Yeah,
good movie.
Tomb Raider?
Really? Yeah, look, I
never saw the Tomb Raider movies, actually, with Angelina. Never saw them.
I'm not a video game guy.
Yeah, no interest.
So, no interest. I probably am not. I don't care about Assassin's Creed either, although I may end up seeing it, you know.
That's a rental.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
I'm not going to be seeing that.
I just, with the remakes, I just, why? You know, I just,
Yeah, it's a lot. But Tomb Raider is a huge brand, and fans of our show actually love Tomb Raider. Like,
okay,
that is like the
no
big
offense,
thing
everybody.
Here
hey.
At Meet the Movie Press.
No
so
offense,
we,
everybody.
Yeah, we won't get too down on Tomb Raider. Walton Goggins is a good addition. Alicia Vikander is obviously a wonderful actress. Although I will say, and I can finally say, because this week I finished Jason Bourne. I had watched like 75% of it and then turned it off. So I finished it this week, and now I can officially render an opinion. Wow. That's a terrible movie. I cannot believe that she did that film.
Well, I will tell you exactly why she did the film.
Go.
There are two reasons. She gets to work with
Greengrass and Damon. Yep.
And they probably paid her a shitload of money.
Probably true. But like, so I love Donna Langley. And I think Donna Langley is one of the smartest executives in Hollywood. And I'm just trying to picture her watching this movie as the dailies come in, or like a rough cut, and being like, yep, that's our summer blockbuster. This is going to kill. Like, this is a movie where people just walk around and talk on the phone and look at computer screens. And we've lost the asset. We just found the asset. It's preposterous.
It is preposterous.
I'm not a fan of the Bourne movies to begin with. This one was just... End this franchise. Please, for Matt Damon's dignity, end this franchise.
I walked out of that movie, came out in July. I walked out of that movie into a hot New York summer day, and I looked around and I said, wait, what movie did I just see? Like, literally, I had forgotten it, because it was in one ear, out there. I mean, through the eyes, passed through the brain, and just was gone. Like, it did not stay with me. It was immediately forgotten.
Greengrass.
It was the epitome of a stupid popcorn movie.
Pivoting, you haven't seen Patriots Day yet, have you?
No, I think I'm seeing it in New York.
Patriots Day.
I heard it's really good.
you know, I'm from Boston. I'm biased.
I'm from Maine. I'm also biased.
It was amazing.
How about the week the Red Sox had, huh? Can we talk about that on this show?
That'll be at the end. To me, I think Patriots Day will probably wind up in my top five of the year.
Really?
I think so.
I'm good friends with the guy, with Mark Wahlberg's aide-de-camp, his right hand. We are next-door neighbors in New York.
Oh, okay.
And he said this one is, he like, sometimes he says, you know, it's this, it's that. You know, they just finished shooting, they literally just finished shooting the new Transformers movie. Mm-hmm. Terminator.
Who knows what he said about that one?
I won't betray confidence one way or another about anything other than that how proud they are of Patriots Day. Like, yes. They're really, really excited about that one.
It really is fantastic. Yeah. And I think it'll be a real bummer if it does not get the Best Picture nomination it deserves. But my point was that it is the best green grass sort of imitation, or in the tradition of Greengrass.
Peter Berg doing Paul Greengrass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, since United 93, it's a fantastic film. So definitely check that out. Although it may not be the best Christmas watch with the family. I don't know.
Well, again, I believe I'm seeing a screening of it Wednesday night in New York.
Okay, great. Yeah. Fantastic.
What am I seeing next week? I'm seeing The Founder, Fences, and Patriots Day next week.
I saw The Founder. I saw it Wednesday, the day it came out. So they're sneaking it for a week,
right,
in New York and LA, but they're not sneaking it past the end, Snyder. I was there opening day, and I liked it. I liked it. This movie's kind of getting a bad rap. It's, you know, I don't know if John Lee Hancock is like, because people have just written it off from award season, maybe because the Weinstein Company maybe hasn't gotten behind it as much as it usually does.
I actually have some insight into that. Please. The reason why the Weinsteins are not behind it, it's not that they're not getting behind it. It's that they don't have any money to release it, that they put all of their eggs in the Lion basket.
Right.
Because they felt that was a surefire awards contender. It was Oscar bait. And The Founder was trickier. And they had to make a choice.
Because they're doing the same thing with Gold, too.
Yeah.
The Gold is also very under the radar.
And I don't even know, are they even giving Gold the awards qualifying run? I don't know that they are, because I think that they pushed it to like February or March.
I think that they are, because they screened it for me recently. So.
Yeah, but was that before or after they made the decision to push the release date? I don't know about that, but I know that The Founder, they're hoping to get Keaton an Oscar nomination. I'm actually good friends with John Carroll Lynch, and he said that he really liked he liked the movie.
Yeah, no, he was really good in it. Him and Nick Offerman were both really good as the McDonald's brothers. I thought it was like terrific. I didn't think it was terrific. I thought it was very good. It could have been terrific with a different director, mm-hmm. someone who's a little bit edgier. And the other problem I think that plagues it is, again, I don't know for sure how much involvement McDonald's had. It feels like you can feel their fingerprints on the movie. I don't know, like the McDonald's Corporation or the McDonald's family, but you can feel like we're going out of our way to make these McDonald's brothers look like, you know, amazing, and like they had photos of the real McDonald's as kids. I don't know. It just
could just be John Lee Hancock's.
That's true.
I mean, his style is, you know.
Like, if Fincher had taken that story on with Keaton, like it really could have been The Social Network with fast food.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story as someone who consumes a lot of McDonald's.
It's tasty stuff. Funny story. Coming back for Thanksgiving, my girlfriend and her daughter and I were driving back from Maine to mm-hmm. New York, and we had to do a pee break. And so we stopped at McDonald's and got a couple double cheeseburgers because I was hungry. So I had a bite of one, and Donna, my girlfriend, said, "Can I have a bite of that?" And I said, "Here, take the whole thing. I have another one." So she's about to take a bite, and she says, "I think it's been 20 years since I've had a McDonald's burger." I said, "Just hang on to your seat there, kid." And she takes a bite, and she's like, "Oh, my God, it's so good." I said, "I know. That's why there are billions and billions served."
I am not ashamed of my addiction to fast food, believe me.
Well, I'm being in Los Angeles for the week, I haven't even had time to go to In-N-Out yet.
Oh, you got it.
I'm going to go today. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. I got to go today. No, but I'm seeing The Founder on Tuesday, so we'll talk about it afterwards. I'm really curious. I'm
Are you
going to
see The Comedian?
No.
I saw that.
I heard it's not good.
Again, I liked it.
Okay.
It's not very good, but I liked it.
It's okay to like bad movies.
De Niro's, I mean, the acting is excellent across the board, and I really like Leslie Mann. There's one, it takes it like one step too far in the movie, which I won't spoil. There's something that's just very out of place, and I mm-hmm. don't think they should have even delved into that territory. But it is an interesting story about just the difference between older comics and the way, you know, comics should be able to say what they want to say and how times have changed. I don't know. It was, I quite liked it. I also saw Gold, as I said, which was very good.
It looks really good. It's Gagan?
Yeah.
That's he wrote and directed
it? Yeah, like halfway through, I was like, this could go either way. But by the end, just like Miss Sloan, I was like, oh, wow, that was really good.
Oh, you liked Miss Sloan?
Yeah, did you?
I liked her. I like Jessica Chastain mm-hmm. in Miss Sloan. I find the movie to be overplotted and too complex for its own good.
That may also very well be true. But I love the ending. It had a killer ending.
There are a couple of big twists and a big killer ending. Yeah. And it felt like I liked the ending. Mm-hmm. I liked where it got. I liked where it ended up. I don't love how it got there. It seemed like it was too complex for its own good. Like it was, we were just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Do you know anything about the writer of that movie?
No.
I think he's like, he teaches English in like Korea or something. Or China. Like,
who is the writer? Eric Heiser?
No. That's Arrival.
Oh, that's Arrival.
I do not know this guy's name. The initials are like JP or something. I don't know. But
no, I don't know anything about the writer.
Jonathan Pereira sounds...
That sounds okay. I loved Arrival, though.
Yeah, Arrival's terrific.
I really liked Arrival.
I've watched so many movies, guys, because I've had a vacation this week. I watched Pete's Dragon. Did you see that yet?
No, it didn't...
It's so good.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I loved it.
I saw the first one when I was very young, and it has a soft spot in my heart, you know. So when they had this new one, I was like, really? Again, as we just discussed earlier in the podcast, I don't tend to run out for remakes.
I saw Secret Life of Pets, which was terrible. I saw the movie Pet. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
With Dominic Monaghan?
Yes.
It was good.
My friend Nick Phillips is involved in that. He produced it, I think. Yeah.
I really liked it. It was good. Hands of Stone wasn't bad. It was, you know, whatever.
Didn't see that.
I watched Next Time I'll Aim for the Heart, the French serial killer movie with Guillaume Canet. It's about a famous serial killer who was a cop. He was investigating his own case.
That sounds awesome.
It was really good.
That sounds great. I've never seen that story before.
Yeah, and I bought a bunch of DVDs yesterday at Amoeba.
Okay, let's hear.
TV shows, just to distract myself.
Sure.
Wise Guy.
The original with Ken Wall?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Have you never seen it before?
I watched the pilot yesterday. I was like, this isn't bad.
Isn't bad. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Ken Wall, I mean, he was fantastic. He was a huge star 30 years ago.
Vinny Terranova.
Yeah.
It's
shocking to me.
That's what I'm watching now.
It's shocking to me that you never saw that before.
I got the first season of Crime Story, Michael Mann
Show. Michael Mann with Dennis Farina.
And
also awesome.
And Traffic, the original miniseries,
oh,
which I've never seen.
Traffic. Oh, my God. The original British Traffic miniseries is so good.
Yeah, so I'm trying to help everyone else out there.
You know what else you need to do is, did you ever see the original six-hour British miniseries State of Play?
No.
With John Sim and...
I love State of Play.
No.
It's different.
Stop. The two-hour movie with Russell Crowe and Ben Affleck is awful. The six-hour miniseries that's based on the British miniseries with John Sim, who was on the original Life on Mars, the guy who played the governor, David, what's his name on The Walking Dead, you know who I'm talking about?
No, The Walking Dead means
nothing. Means nothing to you. James McAvoy, the woman from Trainspotting, and who was in.
You're just naming
it. You're doing a bad job
of naming actors right now.
I know. I'm having a horrible time.
You like the miniseries. I got it.
It is one of the greatest things I've ever... television shows I've ever seen.
All right. Well, I got a lot of time in my hands
now. Yeah, watch it.
I missed press screenings for...
Kelly MacDonald.
For Silence, Office Christmas Party, and Passengers. I've missed screenings for all of these.
Oh, wow. I want to see all three.
And Rogue One tomorrow. I was supposed to go to the premiere, so that was a bummer. Anyways...
can we talk about the fact that Passengers... is head to head with Assassin's Creed, and is coming out 5 days after Rogue One. And
tough timing. I think the movie will do fine.
I think it'll do fine. I think that if it had come out in August or October, even, it would have added $100 million to its ultimate.
I think you're right about that, and I think that reviews are actually going to help. Like, people, if the reviews are good, people will really flock out to see it.
All I will say is this. We will talk about what today, later on, we'll talk about what my column is today and the tracking board.
Do reviews matter, that kind of thing? Or?
No, but Monday's column is about Assassin's Creed versus Passengers.
Ooh, okay.
And it's about not just, there's a piece of information that I have that not a lot of people know.
Ooh, okay.
That will come out in the column. I'm just going to tempt people, tease people with it now.
Tune in.
Go to trackingboard.com on Monday afternoon and it'll be up. But there's also, I think that one of the things I'm going to talk about is that if Passengers doesn't do as well as I think Sony hopes it will, then people are going to read the wrong lessons from it, as they often do in this town. Like, after Deadpool's success, they said, well, clearly we need to have more R-rated superhero movies. Wrong lesson. And I think that I'm going to predict that here's what the lessons they're going to say where they're learning, but that's not what they'll be learning. They'll be reading the wrong tea leaves. So that'll be Monday. But we'll talk about today later. Sorry.
Speaking of reading tea leaves, have you paid attention to the Silence reviews? Or I guess there've been reactions.
I've seen some reactions.
Reviews.
I've seen some reactions.
They seem mixed.
They seem the ones that felt negative to me more like it's a movie to admire rather than to love, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't seen anybody come out and say they really didn't like it. It's more, you know,
they appreciate the artistry behind it. And
you know, and I feel that way about, I felt that way about The Revenant. I felt that way about 12 Years a Slave, where I walked out and said, I can't say that I loved either of these movies. I respect the way they're made and the way they look and the performances and everything, but these are not movies I need to ever see again. And I suspect Silence will be like that.
It sounds like the acting is uniformly good across the board.
Well, they're all good actors.
One thing that you wanted to talk about on the show is the overpaid list.
Yeah. That's part of what my column is about today. This is my favorite time of year, not just because of the good movies, but because of all the big stupid lists that come out. And this list in particular, the most overpaid actors list, is one of my favorites because it is so stupid. It's so stupid.
Right.
Because who cares? It's a meaningless list. If the studios are their own worst enemy. If they wanted to stop paying Johnny Depp too much money, all they have to do is stop paying Johnny Depp too much money,
right,
and he stops working. Or, you know, or they come back and say, we're not going to pay you $20 million to be in Mordecai. We're either doing the right thing and not making Mordecai at all, or we're going to say, you know what, Johnny, why don't you come in and do this, and we'll pay you $5 million to do it, and hopefully your name will carry it to maybe a sleeper version of Pirates, and we'll make $100 million out of it, and then we'll give you a huge back end.
Right.
You know, but I mean, it's very simple. If you feel like you're overpaying somebody, pay them less.
Here's the thing. I think that most actors, well, not most actors, because most actors are underpaid, because there's a whole
most
working
actors,
class.
Yes.
We're talking about the 1% of actors that you actually know. I think a lot of those folks are overpaid, but I also believe in, like, if you are worth that much on the market, then that's how much you're worth. Like,
that's exactly right.
There's no
such
thing. You can't be overpaid.
Look, today's column goes much deeper into it. Like, some of the things that Hollywood, I believe, and I've been writing about this all year, is that I believe that the system is broken. And so one of the things that this is a kind of a gateway in today's column into how we can fix how the studios and how Hollywood can fix itself.
I look forward to reading this.
But there's two names that I just used two examples. There are two names that are not on that list, and they're not on that list for a reason. Tom Cruise, who we both love, and Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They're not referred to as overpaid for a reason. Denzel Washington, not mentioned in the column, but another guy.
Well, they're worth every penny. Yeah.
They're worth every penny. So it's not like, and Will Ferrell's on the list. Will Ferrell is worth the money they pay him.
Right.
That if you have one movie, if he stretches and tries to do a movie that's not in his wheelhouse, doesn't cater to his audience necessarily, it's going to affect the average, and they're going to say, oh, Will Ferrell is overpaid. Nonsense.
I'm with you. And I'm actually looking forward to Will Ferrell's next movie, The House.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah, there hasn't been a trailer yet, but I think it's a great premise.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't mean it. Sorry. It sounds fun. It sounds fun. Yeah. I like it in theory. In theory, it sounds really interesting.
And on that note, let's segue to the Will Ferrell news that hit this week. He's doing an esports comedy. Have you, like, do you pay attention to all the esports?
Like the X Games and stuff?
I don't think that's what esports
is. Oh, you mean video game sports?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I don't pay attention to those either.
No, me neither, although I love The Wizard. But it is a huge business.
Listen, I spend a lot of time under the same roof as a 7.5-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And she's on the iPad all the time, and one of her favorite shows is this family, and she watches them play video games.
Right. Is that on Twitch?
I don't know.
That's what people do on Twitch, right? They watch other people play video games.
Yes, maybe it is. But I know that I don't know what the YouTube channel is, because I'm not the one who hands her the iPad. It's her mom who does that. But you know, she goes right to it, and it's astonishing. Like, I hear them talking, and I look at my girlfriend and say, "What is she watching?" Mm-hmm. And it boggles my mind. But I'm a lot older than
the idea of Will Ferrell doing something in that world, though. Is potentially hilarious. I just remember being a kid, and I was never as good at video games or most video games as my friends, and so you'd always end up watching them play, and right. It was like, this is agony.
I was always really good at the esoteric games, like Baby Pac-Man, which was Pac-Man and pinball, and I was really, really good at pinball. So I did that, and
that sounds like a challenge to all of our listeners
If there's a Baby Pac-Man machine still out there, I will take on all comers. And also, do you remember Hypersports, like the decathlon? No, the track and field, the decathlon game?
No.
Never mind that. There was a sequel called Hypersports, and yeah. I was phenomenal at that.
I stuck to the basketball, football, and hockey games. did you see the Baywatch trailer?
No. I am not somebody who
likes to
seek out trailers.
That's fine.
If it's in a theater, I'll see it, but I don't really seek it out.
Baywatch, I think, looks like the perfect Memorial Day weekend movie.
Dwayne Johnson. I'll see just about anything he does.
Yep. It ends with a very funny joke about, like, you know, the phrase "you people" and Zac Efron getting offended, and Dwayne Johnson's like, "Stand down there, buddy. You're just tan." I think that looks like a blast. And then speaking of blast, the Wall trailer.
The new Doug Liman film.
The Doug Liman movie in which Aaron Taylor Johnson is pinned behind a wall by a sniper, and John Cena is like his fellow soldier who's caught in between. He's trying to save John Cena.
Hmm.
I thought it looked awesome. It's just a really cool premise. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson's the best thing in Nocturnal Animals. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't. That's also on my list to see. It looks really interesting to me. It looks like my kind of flick.
So,
and I really like Jake Gyllenhaal, so I'll go see it. And Michael Shannon. Yep. I love Michael Shannon.
It's a good movie, Nocturnal Animals, and I think that The Wall will also be good. I like these kinds of small, intimate thrillers. The Wall was the first script that Amazon ever bought.
Really?
Yeah. So this is their baby. And yeah, Doug Liman should bring something interesting to it. We got about 10 minutes left. I feel like I'm hogging the topics. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about?
Well, no, you haven't hogged. I've been able to sneak in things about upcoming columns, like today's piece, which will be interesting reading, and what Monday, and give you a sneak peek on what Monday is.
All right. There's a few other things. We got plenty of stuff. I got plenty left on the list.
Yeah. Fire away.
Okay. Let's see.
I'm here to coho. I'm filling a seat. So I'm happy to just, you know, okay. Let you drive the car, and I'll just kind of, you know, I'll work the radio.
Here is one that, you know, I will be honest. I am not a Game of Thrones person.
I am.
I'm
not a fanatic about it.
So
I
am not terribly familiar with Emilia Clarke's work. But she was cast as the female lead in Han Solo, or one of the female leads. I don't know if there's two or not. And I was not a fan of this. Knowing who else was testing and who she was up against.
Who else was she up against? Give me some names.
I think it was like Tessa Thompson.
I like Tessa Thompson. Not loving her, right? Didn't love her in Westworld, She was great in Creed.
There were just a few names. I forget the names that were out there. I don't have the computer in front of me. But Emilia Clarke in Terminator was just so not good.
Horribly miscast.
Bland. I'm not sure what they're asking of her in this Han Solo movie.
You know, it's something like this. It's tough to make a choice. We know it's tough to make a judgment. we know who young Han Solo is, so the idea of Alden Ehrenreich doing it is like, okay, you know what? That's interesting. And of course, the most brilliant casting in the history of Star Wars was Donald Glover as young Lando Calrissian.
I think he's going to be awesome.
He is. There's no way he can't be. He's awesome at everything he does. Mm-hmm. We both love Childish Gambino. Is that what he
called? Oh yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. But with her, I don't have any idea who the character is. So I just haven't,
right.
You know.
Yeah, it's hard to say without that kind of description.
Emilia Clarke was miscast in Terminator.
So I should give her another shot. As a
watcher of Game of Thrones, I like what she does on that show.
Okay.
And she handles herself rather well. As long as she's not the center, she's part of an ensemble, I think she's quite good.
All right. And I promise I wouldn't get into any controversy this week. But I have to ask.
Your name is Jeff Snyder,
right? Do you think that Emilia Clarke that there's a problem with Emilia Clarke and Felicity Jones and Daisy Ridley all looking very much alike?
Not until you just mentioned it, and now that's all I can think about. I feel like, look, you know, there's now a new ongoing Star Wars comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, they did something very interesting where they introduced Han Solo's ex-wife.
She's black. Right.
And, you know, I think that in this day and age, look, you and I have talked about this before, and I hate to keep saying this, but mm-hmm. we have a relationship outside of the studio. We've been friends for a while. And it's you and I agree that it's always about finding the best person for the job. If there's a way to make that, if the best person is between a white man and a black woman or whatever,
mm-hmm.
maybe you give the opportunity to somebody who's not a white man. And as a white man, I like having opportunities, but also, you know, if you want to really push diversity in the 21st century, then you want to hand out opportunities.
Yep.
This seems like one of those things where I don't know who the character is. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm actively trying to find out nothing about the film.
Okay.
But this seems like a perfect opportunity where you have a bunch of really talented actresses. Maybe Emilia Clarke had the best chemistry read with Alden Ehrenreich, and that's why they cast her.
That could totally be it. And again, I don't even know that she's a romantic interest.
She may not be.
You know?
You know, but I think that that didn't even occur to me until you just said it. And, you know, you're right.
I don't know. It is food for thought.
They're all British young actresses. So.
Legendary got the rights to Dune. I could not care less.
Nope, me neither.
Next.
Next topic.
Dune. Give me a break here. Angela Bassett is playing Black Panther's mom. That's awesome.
Love it.
Angela Bassett is so great.
Here's one. I'll go one further. I don't remember the last time I was this excited about a superhero movie because every decision they've made, every casting decision, bringing in Coogler, every decision they've made has been, I've liked every single one across the board.
I'm pumped for that. I just, you know, Strange Days is one of my favorite movies.
Oh,
and
that's
Angela
an underrated
Bassett
film.
Is like the ultimate badass in that film.
I actually was at the premiere of that in 1995 and went to the party afterwards. Yeah.
Holy crap.
And by the way, Angela Bassett, one of the best smelling women I've ever met in my entire life.
Nobody talks about this.
About how great Angela Bassett smells.
About how great actors smell sometimes.
Angela Bassett.
This is a fucking thing, okay?
Angela Bassett, to this day, 21 years later, it was 1995.
Yep.
21 years later, I still remember how wonderful. I see her on screen. The first thing I say is, God, she smells good.
Now, I'm straight, but...
As am I.
Pierce Brosnan...
Also smells great.
Smells like a bar of Irish soap. He smelled so good when I interviewed him when I was in college. It was just like, how can I be like you, Pierce? How can
I
smell like you? I
want to hug him just so
like
maybe
you?
it will, you know, I'll get some...
That is hilarious. 21 Jump Street, the female spinoff, got rid of the Broad City co-creators or writers or whatever, and they hired Rodney Rothman, a big Apatow veteran. I really like that hire and bringing him in to do this. And I guess it's refreshing that they didn't hire a woman to write a female spinoff. Like, it doesn't have to work like that.
Being the best person for the job, you know.
And Sony had a female writer on Ghostbusters, you know, with Katie Dippold co-writing it with Paul. But, like, it is another example of, like, here's this big female comedy, and it's another male director. Even though I like Rodney Rothman very much.
You know, I feel like, honestly, asked and answered.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Joaquin Phoenix and Gus Van Sant teaming up.
Because it's worked so well before.
It's called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot.
The best title I've heard since The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain.
Yeah, it's like, honey, you want to see Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot tonight? I imagine that title will change. He's going to play like a, I don't know if he's paralyzed or quadriplegic, cartoonist.
Okay.
Hey, it's Joaquin, man. You got to respect the Joaquin.
I like Joaquin. It's like, jeez, I'm terrible with
names.
He's
one of our best.
It's like John Hawkes with the movie with
The Sessions, which was fantastic.
Fantastic. And
probably should have won the Oscar for that.
Well, he didn't even get nominated. She got nominated. He didn't get nominated. When the nominations came out, that's one of those times when
Helen should have won, too.
Yeah, she was great. But when John Hawkes wasn't even nominated, I said, God, what is wrong with this fucking business? They can't, you know.
Adam McKay directing a Dick Cheney movie. Why?
You know, I interviewed him last year, and I was skeptical until I saw The Big Short, and The Big Short is really good.
See, I didn't love The Big Short.
Man, the first time I saw The Big Short, I said, okay, I get it. And then I saw it a second time.
I've seen it twice, too.
The second time, I liked it more. And I interviewed him, and he is just so smart.
He's very smart.
He is so smart, and he's so good at this. I am, from now on, always going to give him the benefit of
the doubt. I totally respect that he has made the jump to that that kind of director.
He does something that very few people do.
So I don't begrudge him going off and doing that Dick Cheney movie. I just hope we don't lose Adam McKay to, you know, the world of those kinds of movies.
I don't think we will.
Because he's very funny.
I don't think we will. I think that the whole point
is... He has that Pharma movie with Jennifer Lawrence, too, which sounds better than a Dick Cheney movie.
It does. It does. I think that this is the kind of thing where he now has pretty much whatever power he wants and can do anything he wants, and he wants to do some important stuff. But I remember asking him, and he said, look, the funny stuff with Will is in my blood. I'm never going to stop doing
right.
that. So, you know, because I said, now are you, you know,
we like
now
to...
you can go to Will and say, you know what? I'm now Oscar nominee. And this is before he won. I said, Oscar, maybe you're probably going to win. Oscar winner, Adam McKay. Do you then just, he said, yeah, that's, we have a lot of fun with
that. We all have a tendency to put people into boxes. And by no means do I want to, am I saying that Adam McKay has to pick between comedy and this other direction?
No, but he should be able to go back and forth.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly earned that. Ben Wheatley and Tom Hiddleston might be teaming up on a Hard Boiled movie over at Warner Brothers.
On the comic book?
I feel like no one over there saw Free Fire because that movie was unwatchable.
It's the one with Brie Larson coming out in
April. I saw it in Toronto. It was the opening night for Midnight Madness. It was a disaster.
Okay. It looks pretty
absurd.
Did you
see High Rise?
I did not see High Rise. No.
I couldn't stand High Rise either. I walked out of that movie. I like Ben Wheatley. I think he's talented. I think he has a lot of potential. But I don't. It's just so weird when I see a movie that so clearly fails in Free Fire, and then you still graduate to the next level.
This business so often is about failing up.
Right, failing up.
The guy, John Watts, the guy who did Cop Car, which is a perfectly fine film.
Oh, I really liked Cop Car.
See, I didn't. I thought it was just, eh. But it's, you know, it made no money, and it, you know, but all of a sudden you're giving him the keys to the $150 million car with Spider-Man, and that worked out really badly the last time they tried that with Mark Webb. So, you know, I mean, look, I wish him luck. I don't begrudge him the opportunity.
I think this Spider-Man's going to be good.
It looks really good. It looks really good. They seem to make all the right choices in casting.
It's a different approach.
And the fact that we've had the sneak preview.
Oh, shit. We got to go, buddy. We got to wrap this up.
Sneak preview from Civil War. It looks good.
All right. Listen, that'll do it for Meet the Movie Press. We are going to be back next week with Simon Thompson. We're going to be delivering our top tens. Neil, where can the good folks find you?
You can find me at Tracking Board, tracking-board.com. My columns appear every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can get me on Twitter at Neil Turitz, NEILTURITZ. If you tweet me, I will probably tweet back. And I also, one other thing, I contributed to a book that just came out. You can download it on Kindle for $4.99. Mm-hmm. It's called There I Said It, Bob Dylan is Overrated. And I wrote an essay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Cool.
I wrote an essay about how much I loathe the Grateful Dead, which is very funny, and the book is very funny. So check it out.
And I'm Jeff Snyder. You can't find me anywhere because I have disappeared. So unless you have my cell phone number.
But he'll be back.
Maybe.
He'll be back.
Guys, have a great weekend and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thanks, Jeff.
from producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.